Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey there. Welcome to the Full Daddy Soccer Time Podcast. Soccer Time. Our weekly look into Seattle Sounders FC, nerdy soccer culture, cutting Eastern Washington commentary, and an attempt to understand the hottest soccer league not funded by foreign royalty, MLS. I'm Gregor from 107.7 The End. I do mornings there. He's been in the locker room, on the pitch, and in the stats booth at Lumen Field. He is Spokane Brandon.
That's Mr. Dr. Spokane Brandon butt stuff to you, and I'm still filling out the sheet, so
I can't even keep up with all of your nonsense. So hi.
Hi.
Do us a quick solid and click on through to Apple Podcasts. Give us a rating.
Definitely 5 stars.
We actually want you to do this.
Go give us a rating, and I promise I'll check sometimes before, right when I remember to, when we're reading it out during the show.
I checked last week, and I was like, oh, the last one's from January?
Well, that's why I stopped checking, is because nobody goes and leaves us a review. Maybe also, that's because everybody who listens has already left one.
Also, January has Jan in it, so it's by default the worst month.
Obviously.
It's got my birthday too. Damn it, this is tough.
January.
That's like the alternate January in the upside down world.
January.
Anyway, primarily leave us a comment. We just want to know your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC corner kick taker. From Nico Ladero to... No, you filled that out.
No, sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Yeah, from Nico Ladero to Joao Paulo.
Or if you're
anybody on the Fox Sports or ESPN broadcast, you say every single syllable or every single vowel that's in Joao Paulo's name. You go Joao Paulo. Like literally every time they're like Joao Paulo.
There's a race car driver from France and his name is Romain Grosjean, and he now races an IndyCar. Romain. It's spelled romaine, like the lettuce.
Like the lettuce, okay.
But it's pronounced Roman. Roman Grosjean. Yeah. And boy, to hear these hick-ass IndyCar commentators try and get that right is Romain Grosjean.
Dude, first of all, I feel like Roman Grosjean has like Golden Bogan Hogan vibes. Like it's just one of those things that just rolls so well.
I feel like if I was going to launch a brand of ranch dressing in America, I would call it Roman Grosjean.
Yeah.
Man, it Grosjean's so good.
What is it, Grosjean? Romaine?
Yeah, exactly. It's perfect. So, Romain Grosjean. It's like, anyway, that's the same thing where it's like, good luck to anyone who'd... Now, I don't speak Portuguese. I don't know how to do this stuff, but, you know, you learn after 2 years of the guy being in the league that maybe you could just look at the sheet. Like, James, what's his name? James Woolard. Sorry, James. I always post the sheets on the, I always post the pronunciation sheets on the internet.
The opposing team's pronunciation guide.
Yeah, and it's like, that's how you learn to say Abobasi. Like that's that's a tough word to see and just know what it is. But luckily, somebody has taken the time. They probably make $9 an hour, and they have compiled that. Yeah, Brandon points to himself. They've compiled this sheet so that way the announcers don't look like dummies and represent the team well. So for the Fox Sports guys to just butcher that every time or whoever, it's not exclusively them.
No. But it's like you get it happens. It's not just MLS. It's every league in the world, and part of it is like, hey, some of these guys have names, and you've got guys from all over the world playing in this league, right? In every single league, in the Premier League as well. You've got guys from all over the world who speak languages that you've never heard of, and when you have to pronounce their name, you know, you can kind of you can forgive them a little bit because they have to pronounce names in Spanish, French, Senegalese, like all of these different languages.
Sure.
However, it's also your full-time job to make sure that you get those things right. And so when you hear guys saying things like like that's your job to do that well. And if you couldn't take the time to learn how to like pronounce those guys' names, then that's on you, man.
And it's not like you're doing this podcast for free, and then you're right. grandfathered into messing it up.
Like, I can sit here and say Roll Dan all day instead of Roll Don, because I'm making no money off of this. Because you didn't review my damn podcast.
Even then, the station would take all our money, right? Great. But yeah, the notion that, like, there's like this... I've done a few broadcasting things like this where you have to say someone's name, and the chance of getting it right the first time after practicing it for 5 hours is still, it's like close to 0%. Like, I could practice Romain Grosjean. Damn it. Like, it's like, and then like everything crumbles like underneath you as you go. Then over the course of a few, you know, weeks or whatever, you get it right. These people that are messing it up, the series has been racing and he's been testing for 6 months. Like, you have no excuse, pit lane reporter who's around this all the time and has met him and talked to him.
And honestly, like, Romain Grosjean is arguably easier to say than Romain Grosjean.
Romain Grosjean really, like,
you just go for that every time. It's like, think of your favorite ranch dressing. That.
Yeah, that Romain Grosjean goes right on, man. It's really good.
Yeah, and like, honestly, he's setting himself up perfectly for Romain Grosjean the straightaway.
Exactly.
It's like, come on.
Romain Grosjean to
puns.
Take the podium.
Yeah. Watch him Grosjean the podium. Yeah, that's perfect.
Now it sounds like sexual. This week, the Brian Smetzer Orchestra. That's so funny. I can't even get over that. That's so funny.
I can't believe we haven't used that before. We have to have used that before.
You've killed me. The Brian Smetzer Orchestra.
Like, we always say what? They always say Brian Smetzer's Rave Green Army. Brian Smetzer's Rave Green Army. Like, why is it not the Brian Smetzer Orchestra, where you can just do Brian Setzer songs?
That should be what the sound wave is called.
Yeah.
The Brian Smetzer Orchestra. Did you just produce a, like, a, what is that? Is that a coffee filter?
It's a, oh, I made, I
just, on
I
screen, Brandon also just picks up a used coffee filter that's dripping, and I'm like, you can't see the Chemex, but you can see the coffee. I was like, what is going on in your house?
I didn't have very much time to make coffee before I had to start my work day today. And so I had to bring it in here with me. And so that's what I'm... So during a meeting this morning, I was like looking like a pretentious asshole, like pouring my coffee out of the carafe into my cup. But yeah, that is exactly what I did. Yeah.
You gotta jump, jive, and then you score. You gotta jump, jive, and then you score. You gotta
jump, jive,
and then you score a goal. Hey. Yeah, see, it writes itself. This is amazing. Hey, full90podcast.com to find all of our links, including to our non-existent OnlyFans. That's pretty sweet. Brandon, I have a question before we get to actual soccer here. Were you old enough? No, was probably the answer. Do you have any recollection of Garbage Pail Kids?
I know what they are. My mom has told me about them, and it was never a thing for me, for me and my friends growing up.
Please tell me your mom had you at 15.
23, so it was close.
Okay, so she was probably old enough. Yeah, I was just the right age where I was a little kid when Garbage Pail Kids came out, and they're bringing it back. And
you are not my mom's age. If that's what you were wondering, you are not my mom's age.
Yeah, I was okay. Oh man, this could be real weird.
Dad? I never knew my father, so it might be you.
You're grounded.
Also, Mom, did you?
Also, we both know I did not get laid that young. Please, come on. Okay, so I went to my first vaccination section event of any kind, where you get to take off your mask and pretend like everything is totally normal again, dog. Or, like, I mean, totally normal if you're like Houston Dynamo. Yeah. Like, we had more fans in the stands at a sanctioned game that the Dynamo can get wide open.
And my favorite thing is, like, no matter how many fans are in the stadium, it's the Sounders' 432nd consecutive sellout. It's like, because we just tarp off whatever. It's like, they just tarp off individual seats. Oh yeah, we intentionally social distance. You know, we had 8,000 people in the stadium, 499th out of 500.
We've also gone through 700,000 green trash bags. So, right.
For effect. Don't worry. We're turning them into plastic jerseys.
Yeah, they're coming back as parlay.
Yeah.
I saw those parlay jerseys and I was like, if you are FC Cincinnati, you are stoked to get the same jersey again.
Like, yeah.
Hey, can we just wear our normal ones? Yeah. Because they're that blue and orange color and whatever. Those are pretty sweet, though.
They actually look cool, yeah.
I think you maybe tweeted that if you change the orange to green, that they would look, they'd be great Sounders alternate kits.
It would. I mean, honestly, I think that the one of the things that the Sounders have been missing for a long time, in my opinion, since 2009, I think the 2010 season, they had the Rave Green primary, and then they had the, I think they called it the Olympic Blue, mm-hmm. Cascade Shale.
It was blue first, man. It was blue.
Yeah, but they had that blue. I mean, it's the Sounders blue as a alternate kit, and man, that was one of my favorites in the Sounders history. I think that's got to be. I love the Jimi Hendrix kit. Don't get me wrong. I've loved the Nightfall kit. I love all of these like weird fun kits that the Sounders do. But I would just love to bring back one of those blue kits. Yeah, like every other team in the league is blue, but nobody can do the Sounders blue with the green the way that the Sounders do.
Yeah, it was just awesome to have like the Bizarro kit. Like it was just like what a cool way to do that. Just right out of the gate to just swap them to have the opposite colors.
Yeah, just like inverted.
You mentioned the Jimmy Traore kit that we got this season. I got to wear mine to the match, and let me tell you, that thing makes me look skinny as f, bro. It's so cool.
Hey, that's good. Your first outing to a Sounders match in since the pandemic started, and the first one to come back not looking super fat. That's great.
And believe me, man, I'm fat as f- compared to where I started, dude. For sure, I'm way up on pre-pandemic. Oh,
that's why the Sounders do that, is because they know their audience, so they're like, we're gonna make a slimming kit. It's gonna look great.
Hi there, podcast friend. This is Gregor. I said something truly awful and edited it out here, but I'll make reference to it. I just want you to know that while I don't feel bad, it definitely was not appropriate. Anyway, thanks for listening. Anyway,
does that need to stay in the podcast?
No. Okay. By the way, everyone listening, I just deleted 30 seconds of, of the worst thing you can say about to anybody, but. Anyway, let's just make a transition. I went to my first soccer match where I didn't have to wear a mask, and it was really weird, and I brought Show Nemesis, turned sort of, I don't know, whatever. Yeah, for real. I brought Deb with me to the game. Now, if you're new to the show, which you might be, welcome. Thanks so much. And we now have 37 listeners.
Go leave us a freaking review.
Yeah, please. You heard us at the top. Deb has moved here from Atlanta before Atlanta United ever kicked a ball in competition. She moved here, but that's her team because that's where she's from. Instead of the, you know, championship-winning side that she could support in Seattle and have it be her team and be part of the culture and not just always refer to Seattle as us, like, or as a...
them, you
know, exactly. Like, well, you guys...
The team that her son-in-law and grandson are going to support, like, she's got to go for the bandwagon. I mean, to her credit, it's like her home team. And if I'm Deb... or if I'm in the same position as Deb and I were to move to, who knows, like if I move to Atlanta tomorrow.
Let's say you move to Austin tomorrow.
If I move to Austin tomorrow, I'm still supporting the Sounders. If I moved to, let's say, Minnesota, right, where they have a hockey team, mm-hmm. you know, the Kraken have never played a game in Seattle. Perfect. I would support the Seattle Kraken, right? Because that's my, I personally feel like I need to represent my hometown where I grew up, like my city, right? I support every other Seattle team. Why would I not support the hockey team in my city, despite the fact that they've never, however, if my kid lived in Minnesota and was already a big fan of the Minnesota Wild and the NHL, like I would probably try to get on with that just so we have like some commonality, something in common to like
it would just be so fun, like when Raul Ruiz Diaz scores a goal, or is that who scored this week?
Yeah, it was.
When Ruiz Diaz scores on that set piece on the corner kick, to be able to like high five the person next to me that came with me to this. Now, Cool Keith and my buddy Joe also came, so I could high-five them or whatever. But also, no high-fiving, because that's so weird now. Like, touching other people is the freaking weirdest. I fist-bumped some guy the other day, and he looked at me like I was crazy. And I'm like, dude.
Dude, fists are... your knuckles are just the elbows of your fingers, dude.
We are so over-fisting, okay? It's over. No more of that. But, yeah, so I took Deb with me, and she got to see her team, and she's all she cares about, because... she doesn't understand the rules of soccer. She doesn't know what offside. I'm like, why are they stopping and kicking it from that place? Why is everyone not standing around? I'm like, well, it's a free kick because there was a foul. What? And I'm like, well, you complain when they're not calling fouls, so you should know that when they call a foul, there's a free kick. Like, that's like, if you know that there should have been a foul, then you should know what happens when there is. Okay, great. But, you know, whatever, new. And she knows her, sort of knows her stuff about Atlanta, and she's so excited to see Yosef play.
To Deb's credit, first of all, in that match, it is totally not her fault that she didn't know what a foul was and wasn't, because I don't even think
the ref
knew what a foul was and wasn't.
Yeah. No, he definitely, like, from my perspective, it was crazy.
He's like looking up at Deb and be like, is this a? And she's like, I don't know. Do you think it's a? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, okay, this is a foul.
So if you go back and watch the match and see him looking up to the 300 level, that was us that he was.
When he goes to VAR, it's just like straight up a like radio to Deb.
She's like, someone's talking in my ear. What do I do, Greg? And I'm like, it's a PK. Just say that.
Just say it's a penalty.
Old Deb losing her mind over here, thinking someone's talking to her. So taking her, it was interesting because she showed up in a Sounder shirt, which was really nice. I was proud of
her.
Now,
did you put that on her? Did she choose to show up like that? Or were you like, hey, if you're going to roll with me, you got to kind of.
No,
like...
never. I was, if you're going to annoy me with your fandom for Atlanta all the time, then be an Atlanta fan.
Go all in, yeah.
Yeah, but if you're like, so we got there and she told Cookie, she was like, he was like, what are you doing in Sounders gear? And she was like, I just wanted, I didn't want to make you guys mad or whatever. And he's like, what? It's a game. Don't worry about that. You support who you want to support and screw everyone else. And she was like, yeah, I don't know.
The guy that wears the Vaginas jersey into the stands.
It was not the Vaginas. It was Noonan, Pat Noonan.
Oh, Pat Noonan. That's right.
Because he found, the backstory, Cool Keith, screen printer, found an LA Galaxy jersey at the, like, Ross. And it was, like, two sizes too big for him. But he's a screen printer, so he printed Noonan, who was a Sounders player that went to LA, printed Noonan on there. And then we had about 65 beers before we went to the match. And he was trying to get back to our seats, buying more beers, and he walked right down the ECS stairs, one staircase in the wrong direction, and oh boy, ECS Facebook the next day was real mad about that guy, and oh boy, does he still feel like an idiot, and do we still laugh about that. But yeah, he's like, no, you represent whatever you want. This is sports. It's just a dumb game. Boy, am I glad that she did not wear Atlanta, because the people at the match, you'd think that we had kept them in a cage that we hit with a stick without feeding them but once a day for the last 14 months. People, you lost your goddamn mind. This is, like, we are maybe the worst sports fans that I've ever encountered. And I've been to sports around the world, and truly, truly, truly terrible performance and behavior from the people at that match.
Oh, man.
It was, I say that we added 10,000 more seats to the stadium for the weekend in the vaccinated section, and luckily 8,000 of them were certified coaches that were all
well,
out of their freaking minds.
Here's the thing is, when they put the vaccine in your arm, they aren't putting in a 5G microchip so that they can make you do kickflips and cool stuff in real life. What they're doing is they're inserting your coaches' badges so that way you can become insufferable.
Boy, it worked.
The vaccine doesn't make you immune to anything. It just makes you an asshole.
The efficacy rating on this vaccine is through the roof. It must be at least 90%.
At least 69%.
69%. 420% in Canada. They've gone from being the nicest to the worst.
The worst.
People need to chill the F out, dude. It was the hatred that people were spewing towards the field when anything at all happened. It was really sad, man. It made me feel really bad. And, like, I know some of the people that were sitting behind us, like, they reached out to me on Twitter because I have the Sounders gave me that jersey. It's got my name on it. And so, like, 3 days later, I get the, hey, it was fun sitting behind you at the match. And I'm like, yeah. And everyone was so nice when we talked to them. But as soon as a ball was kicked, man, it was like, it ruined the match.
Mm-hmm.
It was so vitriolic, and so it just, I wished I was at home. And, like, I know that vibe happens in ECS where it's not the vitriol, but it's the excitement of all being together. We're in the 300 levels. You yelling at Christian Roldan for missing a pass at the top of your lungs, ruining my time, does not get to Christian Roldan. He's not like, oh man, old, you know, Dorky McDick face up in the 300 level. That guy's, he's right. I should kick the ball better.
Well, and it's okay. I mean, look, I'm here for a well-placed let him die chant. Don't get me wrong.
I'm not, but I hear
you. No, I know. But if you, if your own player, right? Like I get, we're not, I think there are two sides of this, right? In if you go to a Premier League stand and your player does something wrong, especially if your team is being garbage in the season.
Garbage. Mm.
You will get yelled at by your own fans. They will try, they say, oh, we're holding them to a higher standard. It's like, hey, you're not out there kicking a ball. Like when we say we are playing at our Austin FC or we are playing Atlanta, you know, we aren't doing anything. We always say that, right? You and I always say that. We're not doing anything. Our team that we support, that's from the city that we just happen to like because we live in that city. So when you're yelling at your own players for screwing up, especially from three, first of all, at all, if you're doing it at all, like, hey, be encouraging, be supportive. These guys are like under the microscope every single day in and day out. If you're in the 300s like level, just don't say anything. Be like, ah, bummer. Like next time we'll, you know, he'll do better next time. Or, oh, hey, I wish he would have made this pass to my person sitting next to me. Not Christian Roldan, you dumbass.
It was like, what are you doing? Why aren't you looking? Why aren't you seeing that opening? You waited too long. Kick the ball sooner. What's your problem?
And I don't even think Brian Schmetzer is doing that.
We got 10,000 Casey Kellers up here. Yeah. Casey Keller's like, oh boy, this is rough, man. These people are jerks.
I mean, Brian Schmetzer, who's sitting on the sideline, probably can't even be heard when he's yelling across the field to a guy who missed a pass. You know what I mean?
Now, look, the Sounders played a sloppy-ass match. It wasn't like it was, I mean, from my perspective, there was so many bad passes, and like it just didn't, it never really came together. They never fired as a unit together. Yeah. The first half better than the second, I guess. Usually that Schmetzer halftime pep talk would get them going or something, but they didn't look like a team that was well-organized or really getting it done or feeling as a cohesive unit. And I really feel like that might just be the finally getting to let up off the gas a little bit after such an intense period and then having to like refocus and go again. It's got to be tough in some capacity, or having the fans back might have an effect where it threw them off a bit instead, or who knows, maybe there's a pressure, maybe it was just the weather.
I mean, you're an undefeated team, right? Best start in the history of your MLS campaigns, right, Sounders? And and you go into a match against a team who traditionally has been very good, right? And you go into that match and you're playing in front of your home crowd. There's a lot of pressure to stay good, to stay undefeated, to continue this hot start. And so, yeah, you go into that. But also, like, you're playing without some of your best players. You're playing without Nico Ladero in the middle. You've been running, like, Christian Roldan has been playing. Roldan, sorry, all right, I don't make any money, don't hold it against me. Christian Roldan has been running his like ass off up and down the field, doing everything that he can to keep this team moving. You know, all of the players on the team are doing everything that they can, but when your substitutes are Danny Leyva and Ethan Dobelaire, like these 15, 16 year old kids coming onto the field, it's like not a slight against those kids at all, but you're running your legs off, right?
And so, and the lesser paid Freddie Montero, to be fair.
And yeah, Freddie Montero is making less than Nuhu right now.
I mean, deservedly, after seven matches, like, okay, I get it.
Knew who's having an MVP season, if you ask me. Actually, if you look, we can talk about that later. But anyway, yeah, I mean, you've got a team who's just running up and down the field and seven matches into the season, haven't lost anything. Give them some slack,
yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, full credit to the defense for keeping as many clean. Still no goals scored in open play.
Yeah.
Like,
you have a penalty kick and two free kicks. That's all the Sounders have given up this season. Yeah, they've probably missed 7 or 8 goals that they could have scored if they had seen one pass, but they're winning or at least drawing matches. Like, they're 5 wins, 2 draws this whole season. Yeah. Like, I would
Nuhu's
say that
in
their
head,
rate
bro.
Is great. Yeah.
So anyway, people are bringing the internet intensity into real life, and I'm sad for you because it was one of the first in-person indicators of how hard this has been on everybody, where we have a chance to relax and release, and it all came out in this ugly, ugly way. It felt like Akira or what's that guy that comes down from space? Venom.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that, where it just was like really, it was this really dark energy around everything, and I just felt so terrible for everyone.
Do you think it'll like, you know, we've all been cooped up for the better part of 2 years, right? Koopa. We've all been King Koopa'd for the better part of 2 years. And like, all you could do is have internet vitriol. If you wanted to have vitriol at all, that's where you had to get it out. You didn't have a place to get out any of your energy, any of like these thoughts, any of these things. Now people are spiking up to this level of, and do you think it'll even out as people like get used to being around other people again?
Well, I asked an opposite question. Sorry to not answer your question directly, but my framing of it was, has this been going on all along and I just got used to it? Not in the 300s, but sure. Like, I think a lot of these people were probably like tried to be GA when they could, or ECS. Right. And that's no slight to any of the supporter groups or anything, but you get around a bunch of your friends, you get some beers and you start yelling about stuff. I'm certainly not innocent, okay?
No.
I've certainly been there and yelled my face off and fine. But I just wonder if like time away and coming back to it, be like, after being kinda...
Maybe for you it was a little bit more whiplash. It was less of a this is new and more of a I'm just not used to this anymore.
That whiplash is such a great way of describing that. I don't actually think that is, because my buddy Neil, who now lives in Austin and is supporting both clubs, it'll be tough for him this weekend. He's from here, born and raised. He lives in Austin, new club. It's his chance to get behind something and be at the ground level again. And so, yeah. But he had awesome season tickets right on the kind of the end line, about 20 rows up in the 100 level. And we used to go together all the time to these matches. And it was like so fun. It was just like a bunch of like people having a good time, a lot of families, just a really positive atmosphere. And so to be on the 300s and have that kind of like intensity of the bro-em end escape into the top level, it felt either like our culture is kind of falling apart, or maybe I'm not used to it anymore, the whiplash theory, or like maybe this is just a temporary thing because we don't know how to behave in public anymore. And I think it could be a lot of the latter.
And I will say, not to be the guys who are, you know, dumping on supporter culture, because that's not who we are. We're big supporters of the club. We will say, hey, look, I'm the guy who's openly admitted to calling Steve Clark an asshole to his face, like walking outside the stadium. So like, I'm the worst of the worst if we're like, so I feel like I can, a spade can call a spade a spade. You know what I mean? But like, I think that if you're sitting in the section where that kind of like getting riled up, if you're getting that excited thing, it all comes to like a time and a place, right?
Yeah.
The time and place is not to be super drunk outside the stadium yelling at an opposing team's goalkeeper.
Yeah, when the game is over and now we're just humans again.
Yeah. That was not the time or place.
Yeah. It happened, whatever. You just own it and move on, whatever. But like, I'm not here to say anything negative about the supporter culture, because that's, you do you or whatever. It just felt different and weird, and it's probably a part of me bringing my experience along with it too. Deb had a good one line. There's a guy that was just, he just couldn't stop screaming at the top of his lungs. And like, I didn't want to be the guy that turned around and be like, we all see the game too. I didn't want to like, just chill, dude. You need to chill out, because who am I? But also it needed to be said. And like the people like right behind us, they were popping off and they were funny or like supportive, like, come on, like, ah, bad pass, get them next time. You know, that type of thing. And I'm like, great. Like, being critical as a fan, I don't know. Yeah, we can get into the nuances of that. It was just nice because they were there supporting and being friendly, and we just had a nice time. But Deb, the guy stands up and screams something, and Deb goes, it's a shame your coach has to be in the stands behind us. I'm like, yeah, it's really hard. It's really hard for the team to hear him way up here. But
I'm curious to hear what Deb thought. If I had been there with you, hey, the next time Sounders play Atlanta at home, I would love to go with you and see if Deb has the same thoughts about our quantity of jokes.
A callback to my father-in-law who went with us once and was like, wow, you guys sure have a lot. Like, wait, what did you make up for your...
You make up for the lack of quality in your joke or the quantity of jokes. Quantity over quality.
We certainly had a fun time, though. It was fun to take Deb there. She wore Sounder stuff, and people were so mean at everything that she was like... When Josef Martinez scores that PK the worst way, she's like, I just want him to get a goal, and he gets that. And I was like, that barely counts as anything. But okay, I mean, it's a goal. We don't get the full share of points. The team doesn't. But she was like, she had to be like, yes, like that. She had to be like, so like meek
inner,
and small.
Herself,
yeah, instead of being able to be like, all right. Like, people being like, I went to Toronto to watch the MLS Cup final that Sounders lost. And... like, we went full supporter, and people were you know, taking shots at us in a fun way, in a very Canadian way.
Granted, it's easy to do that when the people in the stands who are supporting the other team are supporting a team that didn't get any shots on goal in the entire match.
Was it no shots on goal in the second one, too?
No. So the one that they won, you went to the one in Toronto that they lost.
Lost.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And so in the 91st minute when it was like 2-0 or whatever it was, you know, we turn and we start walking out and everyone's like, hey, look at these guys. Yeah, and giving us, like, hugging us and giving us pats on the back. And like, next time. And like, it was so fun.
It was next time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Suck it, Altidore. But, but yeah, for it to be so negative that she couldn't even feel like she could support the team that she actually likes is like, that's such a bummer. So if you're a fan of the sport, you're listening to this, just know that like it's a game and you're making it kind of crappy by being such an asshole about it.
Yeah.
Brandon.
we've spent very little time talking about the actual match as
Who
usual.
Cares?
But this time I would say the actual quality on the pitch was bad enough that we don't have to spend very much time talking about it. So
just watch that highlight reel. It is not great.
1-1 Sounders draw. Atlanta keep the undefeated streak going. No goals given up in open play. Who cares?
Okay. Well, that brings us to the most important player for Seattle. It's the New Who's Train Lube man of the match.
I'm going to have to say that your New Who's Train Lube man of the match. I mean, New Who, I guess. I mean, the Sounders continue to be great, and New Who continues to be on, like, non-Sounder supporters' lists of potential MVP candidates. So, yeah, your play of the match or your man of the match is New Who.
New Who's Train Lube. Even before we said it, you already knew who.
Okay.
Sunday at 6:30 p.m., Austin FC will take to the pitch at Lumen Field to play Seattle Sounders FC, still undefeated, and another home match. Only three teams are undefeated in MLS at this point in the season. Most teams with either 6 or 7 games under their belt. Those are Orlando in second place in the East, Nashville a couple spots behind them, and of course Seattle Sounders FC best in the league. Also, something important, the best goal differential, a hot start from both ends of the field at Raul Ruiz Diaz and the defense in New Who and Yamar and I guess Arriaga, sort of, where they announce the teams, Javier, and then the crowd goes, Arriaga, which everyone was so bad at. Everyone's so out of shape with that, but I was like, Javier, and I go,
Javier, and everybody's like, Arriaga.
What happened to Shane O'Neill? Is he dead?
I don't know. But anyway, I mean, he seemed like he was a better choice for a while, so I don't know where he's at.
Still think he is. But we don't see training, though, anymore, so that's not a thing. But again, Sounders with tons of goal production out of Raul Ruiz Diaz, out of the Golden Bogan Hogan of... That's so good. Out of Brad Smith. Also, the president of Microsoft.
Yeah.
His name is Brad Smith.
Yep.
I don't know if we talked about
that. Yeah, he's not their CEO, but he's like one of their president of the board or something like that. His name is Brad Smith because if you ever look up, I mean, that's how you know Brad Smith is being productive as a Brad Smith, because he's smithing Brads. He's smithing Brad Smiths.
They make it to Microsoft level.
He's really
Brad Smith.
He's a Brad Smith because he's smithed a Brad Smith.
You could tell who's had coffee and who hasn't.
How many Brad Smiths could a Brad Smith Smith of a Brad Smith could Brad Smiths? Wait, could Smith
could
Brads.
Brads?
There we go.
Oh, you blew it.
Yeah, dang it.
So yeah, Sounders productive at both ends, which is great, including, that sounds...
Speaking of...
Do they have food poisoning or... But up top with goals coming from different places and a lot of them, and then also back with that five-man defense is something else. And it's so... Joao Paulo gets credit and everything for being one of the best players on the field, but I just really spent a lot of time watching him from that central midfield position. When Brad Smith would take up... Oh, no, when New Who would take on... No, no, it was Brad Smith. Would go up the left side. New Who would kind of sneak out to the sideline there. And Joao Paulo would drop right into Nuhu's position, so they'd be instantly back to four or five at the back whenever there was anything.
I mean, there was one point where Raul Ruiz Diaz was covering for Alex Roldan at right, Roldan at right back. Like, it was it was off of, I think it was returning from a set piece or something, so Raul was just like, hey, I got to get back and cover because Alex Roldan is doing Alex Roldan things and putting in beautiful crosses. And so he dropped all the way back, and it was, like, very strange. And you're like, you don't usually want to see your striker covering in that position. But yeah, in this,
because it's going to be a yellow card.
Yeah, exactly. It was a Obafemi Martins tackle. But he, I mean, he just covered for a second. Thankfully, it came to nothing. He didn't actually have to do anything on defense. But it was cool to see that, like, this team knows what they need to do and when they need to do it on defense.
And that's showing because no goals allowed during the regular play. It's like, that's crazy that it's all...
You want to know what's crazy is the Sounders have the most goals for in the league. They've scored the most goals in the league out of any other club. I think by a good 2 goals. I think the next highest is Kansas City with 12. And they have... Only one team has fewer goals against, and that's Orlando. The Sounders have 3 goals against, and Orlando has given up 2. Now, Orlando's only scored 7 in the same amount of time, so the Sounders have scored twice as many as Orlando, given up only 1 more goal. None in the run of play, obviously. So the Sounders team, like, despite a shaky, you know, match against Atlanta where it seems like the wheels are falling off, I had to keep reminding myself, like, this team is undefeated in this league. They've scored the most goals in this league. They've yet to give up a goal, luckily, it seems like, at moments. But they've bent, but not broken, right? And so you have to, like, Seattle fans are the only team that could, like, win a trophy and complain about it. You know what I mean? Like...
Absolutely. So Austin FC comes to town on Sunday night again. 6:30 is the alleged start time. That's, who knows? If it's FS1, then it's 6:53 or 6:37. So good luck, everybody. But Monday, a holiday, so hopefully you'll be able to at least indulge if you can't make it out to the match or whatever. We're actually sitting in the non-vaccinated seats because we had bought tickets in the first round. We were lucky enough to get them. And so I'll have to go back to wearing a mask and sitting in the... in the non-vaccinated section, so
well,
which will be
at
weird
least to... all of these people won't have had their vaccine that makes them a total dick. So maybe it'll be a better crowd.
As someone put it out to me, like, "Oh, so you got to sit in the non-segregated section?"
Ooh,
and I was like, "Just
come,
just slow your roll. Like, it's just the, it's just we're just trying not to spread a disease, and if it means more people can go and support the team, which is what we're supposed to be doing, and I got in a lot of trouble for criticizing people for not supporting the team a couple seasons ago, and oh my god, but so if you're gonna call it segregation, then I don't even
shut up.
Personally, I don't even want to see you there.
Yeah,
just shut
up.
Austin, not very good, but also they have a bit of the Fartland Timbers FC problem from a few years ago when they were building that dumb roof deck on their stadium. They haven't played a home match yet because their stadium's not ready. The first home match is still 3 weeks away, not till middle of June. And so Austin's played every match on the road. That's a tough way to start, even to pick up 2 wins. Out of their 6 matches played is pretty good. No draws, though, so it's all or nothing for this team so far. 2-4 on the season. That's got to be so challenging to have to play every match in front of no fans in the other stadiums because no one goes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, imagine being Toronto or Vancouver who are playing all of their matches in Miami or Orlando or wherever it is that they're playing.
Where's Vancouver playing? At Rio Tinto?
I think so. Yeah, I think they're playing home matches in Utah. So already playing in front of no fans. Same as RSL. Actually, I think RSL gets decent support, so I don't want to dunk on them like that. That's got to be hard if you're a brand new team in the league. Already expansion teams have a tough enough time getting wins in the league. I think Atlanta United and LAFC are the only two teams other than the Sounders who have come out with a actually decent expansion season. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
absolutely. So other teams, Orlando, New York City, Nashville in the recent years have just had a garbage first season in the league.
Garbage.
Austin comes in, I mean, playing all their games on the road, they get 2 wins out of it, but they're not playing great. The 2 wins that they've gotten have come, they've been nail biters and they're not dominating anything. They've shown, I guess, signs of promise here and there, but
that being said, though, when Seattle plays teams like that, the team squad has a tendency to step up for big occasions and make big performances, but also to take the foot off the gas a little bit for lesser performances. And so I see a team like that that needs as many points as they can get right now on the road, and see a team that will give Seattle some trouble if they can't stay focused and have like a decent first half.
Out of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so 7 games that the Sounders have played this season, I will say that the only two that they've won convincingly have been against Minnesota, who has had a rough start to the year,
and a great team,
and LA Galaxy, who's actually playing decent this year, but the Sounders were able to shut down. So the only two out of those 7 games, yes, they have 5 wins, and like I said, we're the only team that can have a start like this and have fans that still complain about it. But like, you've seen some, you know, cracks in the facade a little bit with the Sounders team. Like, teams are starting to learn how to get at them, and not necessarily how to score goals, but how to frustrate the Sounders, how to keep them from running up the score against them. A team like the Sounders that can score a lot of goals. I mean, they've got 4 shutouts on the season already, but the win against Portland was a close one. Ties against Atlanta and LAFC, 2 decent teams. A 1-0 against San Jose. So like, you go against a team like Austin, who is playing an away game, who might try to bunker down on the road against a very good Sounders team. I could see the Sounders struggling just being able to break down this team. Thankfully, the Sounders have a lot of quality, so they always can surprise, but we'll see how this one goes.
Take a look into your Crystal Pepsi ball, the swirling effervescence that tells you the prediction of what the score will be on Sunday, 6:30, as Austin FC come to Lumen Field to take on Seattle Sounders FC. Brandon,
I'm going to give the Sounders a 1-0 over this team, because I do see Austin sitting back and playing some really bunker ball against the Sounders, who are going to come out looking for goals after being held to 1 in the last game. So I'm going to say 1-0, and I'm going to give Raul, who is so hot right now, the goal on that one.
I think I'll go 3-0, dude.
Whoa.
I'm gonna put it all out there. I think Sounders are gonna get it together and make a difference here. I could see 3-1, but I'll just say 3-0 to keep that record intact.
Sweet.
All right, then. In case this podcast was just too long and you didn't listen, it's too long. Didn't listen.
too long. Didn't listen.
Today I learned that your knuckles are the elbows of your fingers. Also, that we are done with fisting.
Oh, God. Too long, didn't listen.
The vaccines don't give you immunity. They make you insufferable.
Okay. As long as they didn't give me a 5G chip that's going to make me Bill Gates' puppet.
How do you think the ref was communicating with Deb, Brandon?
too long, didn't listen.
Shoutouts to Dorky McDickface.
Sup, dummy.
Shout out to John, too.
Wait, is John not Dorky McDickface?
We'll never know. I'll never tell.
Too long. Didn't listen.
10,000 Casey Kellers in the stands. We got to do something about that.
Would you rather fight 10,000 duck-sized Casey Kellers or 1 Casey Keller-sized duck?
Wow. I don't. Boy, that's a really tough one. He's pretty old now.
Yeah, but I think, like, Casey Kellers, he's a big guy, but...
Can you imagine kicking a human that was the size of a duck, like a full-grown human? There's, like, 10,000. You just have to start kicking, right? That's just all you can do.
I'm trying to think of, like, who's a really short player, who's a really short soccer player.
No, because then it gets super weird, like Spud Webb type stuff. I mean, like, and actually, like, a duck
is this
tall.
Could you kick a small person?
No, but a
duck-sized person? Yeah, that's tiny.
Yeah, like a bowl. It would be like kicking bowling pins, only like really soft and like with a lot of crunching when your foot went through the rib cage.
Not for the podcast, because I know we're running out of time, but there is a different podcast that I listened to, and they were talking about the world's tallest duck, and I did not realize how tall ducks could get, and I will send you a link afterward.
Oh, how tall? How tall?
Very tall. Very, very tall. It lives on a college campus in the UK, in England somewhere, and it's like... I mean, like, up to probably nipple height on me.
Well, I don't want to fight 10,000 of those Casey Kellers. Hell.
10,000 Casey Kellers that'll bite your nipples.
Quack.